April is the cruelest month. That's what T.S. Eliot said almost 100 years ago at the start of his famous poem, The Wasteland. But after the month we've just had in Melbourne, I think we could almost say that August is the cruelest month. This is the month when COVID has really taken its toll, hasn't it? So many infections, so many deaths, so many funerals where people can't gather to say their tributes to their lost loved ones. It's the month that we associate with lockdown and curfew. It's been a terrible month, hasn't it? And Victoria has become the pariah state during this month. Nobody wants us. The borders are all locked. And the attitude is keep those virus-laden Melburnians away. And I understand that. If this spike had occurred in another state, we'd be doing the same thing. But it doesn't do much for your self-esteem, your mental health, when you think the rest of the country doesn't want you. Hugs and handshakes are things of the past, and we dare not even talk about the economy. It's the month we'll remember for masks and restrictions. It's been a terrible month, a tough month. And I need some encouragement, and I presume you need some encouragement. So today we're beginning a short series, 6 weeks, that I've called The God of Encouragement. And we're going to look at a few different passages in the Old and New Testaments and see how God encourages us. And today we're starting with a chapter in 1 Thessalonians where Paul looks at this church back in the beginnings of the Christian era, and he's so encouraged by them. And I just want to look at the first 5 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and see why Paul is so thankful for this church and how that might encourage us. And it's such an encouraging thing to be part of a church. You know, when Paul thinks about these people, he's conscious that they're a new church. It's such an encouragement to just be part of a church, to realize we're not facing this on our own. We're part of a community. So would you come with me as we start this series, as we start today, and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, the first thing I want to notice is how Paul begins this letter. You know, sometimes you can read the beginnings of the letters and you just sort of glaze over them. It's like, dear friend, I'm writing to you. And he begins in a very interesting way. He says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. So he's traveling with some friends, Silas and Timothy, and he's writing to this church. And this opening verse, verse 1, describes the church geographically and also theologically. Geographically, they are the church in that northern Greek city of Thessalonica. But theologically, they are the church that is, quote, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we think about that for our sakes, in our situation, geographically, we are in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. One of our churches is in Blackburn, the other is in Vermont. That makes us different to Thessalonica. But like them, theologically, we are also in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We share that spiritual connection that the Thessalonian church had with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means, it's a very rich description, I think, of a church, is that our origins are in the Father and in the Lord. Our source of life comes from God and the Lord Jesus. We only exist as church because God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have called us into being. God is our source of life. We live here in Melbourne, but we also live in God. We're a very particular church, very local church. We have our local identity. No other church is like St. Alfred's or St. Luke's. But because we are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are connected to every other church. We are connected to Christians all over the world who call God their Father and call Jesus their Lord. I find this a great encouragement personally. Spiritually, I am connected to all of you. And I'm also connected to every other Christian around the world. Now, if you're sitting here today watching this on your own, or maybe as a couple, just want you to let your imagination float away for a moment. Just maybe even close your eyes. I want you to imagine all the other churches in the world, in Africa, in Asia, in the Americas, in Europe. Just imagine all those people. And imagine, if you can, all the missionaries that we've sent out from St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, or we've supported them. They've gone all over the globe. And now imagine all the churches going back in time, back through the centuries, back to the Lord Jesus himself. You and I are part of this church that's dispersed around the globe and goes back in history. And now, if you can, imagine the church yet to come, those who aren't even born yet, the redeemed who are yet to be saved. And we go all the way into the future as we gather with that unnumbered multitude around the Lamb, singing praises to the King of Kings, where there'll be people from every tribe and language. You're part of that church as well, because we are all in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your church. You are part of this. And I think this is a tremendous gift from God, that we're part of something so immense that crosses time and language and geography. So that's the first thing that Paul says about this Thessalonian church, which I find so encouraging. The second thing he says is that we are a community of faith and love and hope. Have a look at the next couple of verses with me. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those three big words: faith, love, and hope. What does he mean by that? Faith is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty obvious. Love is love for your fellow Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ. He'll develop that thought in 1 Thessalonians 4. And hope is hope for the return of Christ. That also is a theme that Paul will develop in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Faith in Jesus, love for fellow Christians, and hope for the return of Christ. And it's these things, these characteristics, that he says has prompted their work, their labor, and their endurance. That's what's energized them. Here are the characteristics inside the Christian community that have enabled them to work so hard for the gospel while they experience persecution. But their hope in Christ helps them to endure that. Now, I am encouraged as I remember our churches. We're dispersed at the moment, but I remember how much is done at St. Luke's and St. Alfred's, prompted by your faith in Christ. How much ministry is done by people at St. Luke's and St. Alfred's, prompted by your faith. How much you love and support and care for one another, and how your hope is helping you to endure this period of pandemic. Faith, hope, and love. Our faith in Christ, our love for one another, and our hope in Christ have not disappeared. Even though we can't meet physically, these things still characterize our gatherings, our life together. No virus can take away our faith in Christ. No virus can stop us loving and caring for one another. And no virus can stop our hope in the return of Christ. So I just want to show you some pictures of our growth groups and some of our Zoom gatherings, just to remind you of who you are and who the people are that you serve with in Christ, this church that you're part of. Just going to show you a couple of minutes of some photos, and there's a lovely song behind that to help you be reminded that you're part of God's church, you're in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you're a community of faith and love and hope. So just sit back and watch this now. I hope you enjoyed that and that you sang along with the song once you got the idea of it. It's a great encouragement, isn't it? And this leads me beautifully into my last point, which comes from verses 4 and 5. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. We are loved and chosen by God. That's what Paul says here. Brothers and sisters, we are loved by God. And being loved by God is not the same as being loved by your parents or being loved by another person. It's not just an emotion. Being loved by God is actually a way of saying, we have been welcomed by God into the long story of God's actions in the world, a story that goes back to the beginning of time, back to Adam, back to the creation of the first humans, back to Adam, back to Abraham, Israel, and even God's beloved Son, all recipients of God's love through whom he has worked in the world. And now as we are described as brothers and sisters, as we are described as loved by God, it shows us that we have been grafted into that family, the family that goes back in time through which God works in the world. Brothers and sisters, we are loved by God. And just to make this a little bit clearer or to deepen the thought of this, Paul then says also we are chosen. And that language of chosen is what the theologians describe as the doctrine of election, of God choosing to use human beings for his purposes. And again, this language takes us all the way back to the choice of Abraham and Israel. And God chooses Israel as his treasured possession, it says in Exodus 19, to be a light to the nations, to display who God is to the surrounding nations who don't know who God is. And that language is picked up deliberately in the New Testament and applied to the church. We are chosen and God's treasured possession. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, picks up this language of Exodus 19 to explain that the church is God's chosen vehicle to display his love, to express his character to the surrounding nations. Paul will later commend the Thessalonians that they have in fact become a model church. They are displaying this grace of God in their area. They are working hard for the gospel, and people are noticing the change in them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they have turned away from their pagan idols, and they have now put their faith in Christ. And they are now proclaiming the gospel to the rest of the geographical area around them. That's them being a light to the nations. That's them expressing their love, their election in their area. And that calling is still on us as well. Being loved by God, being chosen by God, is not just for our benefit, not just to make us feel good. It's so that we can express God's love and show God's love to others. And we can invite them to come into this story, this experience of what it means to be part of God's family, We're still called to do that, to be a light to the nations ourselves. Now, you might say, how can we do that at the moment while we're locked down? Well, I just have a few suggestions to finish with. A lot of us are just doing a little bit extra walking or cycling. As you go around walking or cycling, pray for your street or your neighbours, your neighbourhood. Pray for God-ordained conversations with neighbours. People are out there walking as well, and it just may be that you might be able to have a chat. A lot of people are feeling anxious at the moment. Pray that you may be able to express your faith, your hope. That means you don't experience that same level of anxiety. It may be that you can offer some practical help, show some love, some care to somebody nearby, whether they're Christian or not. And very practically, we're beginning a course in Christianity Explored tomorrow night. No, by the time you hear this, it will have already started. But we're beginning a course called Christianity Explored, so you may be able to invite someone along to that. There may be any number of ways that you can express God's love in your local area. An article written in The Age this past week said that a lot of people are thinking about deeper matters at the moment due to the pandemic. 41% of people are thinking more about God, and 47% are thinking more about their mortality and about the meaning of life. So people, I think, are receptive to discussions about God and about spiritual matters. It's a great time to be part of God's family. We are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that allows us to feel this connection with Christians all over the world and through time. We're a community characterized by faith and love and hope, and no virus is going to stop us being that sort of community. And we are loved and chosen by God, and God calls us to invite others to come and join the family. I think this is a great encouragement, and I hope it is an encouragement to you too. So many blessings this week, and I pray God will use you in whatever ways he wants to help others come to know and love him. Amen.